Today is the Feast of Pentecost, a very important day on God's prophetic calendar in the Old Testament for the Jews and Judaism today, but also is a very important day in the birthday, the life of the church. Why is that? Well, many reasons, but there's a common theme tied to the Word of God. So I'd encourage you to have Acts chapter 2 open. I extended reading earlier, so I'm just going to summarize that and then draw out some things maybe for us to think about. But the promised coming of the Holy Spirit brings God's Word to life. How does that affect us? Well, first of all, the feast, Pentecost, biblically the observant throughout in the Old Testament, I read in Leviticus 23, called Pentecost, that's the Greek term, but the Feast of Weeks, the Day of First Fruits, the Feast of the Harvest, when the wheat harvest in Israel would have been brought in. The Greek terminology comes from meaning a 50 days from the day after the Sabbath of Passover time, our Easter. The records given in several places, but the offerings, all those different offerings that I mentioned from Leviticus, Deuteronomy talks about the worship, that the people were to bring a free will offering in, and they were to rejoice in God and remember what God had done. Always appropriate for us. It was very important because it was one of the pilgrimage feasts, one of the three feasts where all Jewish males were required to go up to Jerusalem. And it was called a holy convocation. It was to be a day of rest. And part of the service, those weight offerings and the loaves of bread with leaven, interestingly, but were to be waved, but then those loaves were not to be burnt on the altar because leaven is a picture of sin. They were given to the priests, if you will, to support the ministers in the temple of that day. And so the worship, folks, very appropriate that worship then is tied, that one verse at the end that I read, that is tied to also compassion for the poor, not reaping the corners of your field so that folks could come and get food. So worship tied to action and compassion, very appropriate. For Jewish, you're going to have to advance that for me, Linda, this is locked up maybe. But the modern observance in Jewish history, they remember the revolts, Jewish revolts, when the Jews revolted against Rome and the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And in 132 AD, Simon Bar Kokhba, the star, who was acclaimed as the Messiah, led another revolt against Rome. He was as a Messiah, and many people followed after him. And Rome doesn't put up with rebellion and just destroyed hundreds of thousands of Jewish people. And they razed Jerusalem, renamed it Aula Capitolina, which basically a pagan name for all the pagan deities of Rome. But the destruction in Jewish history. So they had to shift from temple worship to something important like the giving of the law, which occurred in the same month. So they made the connection that Pentecost was the day that Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. Very important for Judaism today, the birthday, if you will, of Judaism. In the synagogue today, the scriptures that are read, some are from Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, where it mentions a whirlwind and fire, or Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 12, where the glory of the Lord is evident from his place. They also read the book of Ruth, that beautiful story, because of a Moabitess woman who left her country and her gods to come and accept Yahweh, the one true God, and the law, importantly, Torah, for the Jewish people. The foods, we like food around here. So a lot of dairy foods because the law is and scripture is like milk and honey. So in Judaism today, they will be eating lots of cheesecake and blintzes. They'll stay up all night drinking coffee. And then those in Jerusalem, especially the Orthodox, at dawn will wind their way down to the Western Wall for prayer. Well, and so then the fulfillment, obviously, is the day of Pentecost, which we have recorded in Acts chapter 2. As Isaiah said, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, my words put in your mouth. So Judaism ties the law, the giving of law, but now Pentecost, the day of Pentecost in the church, the importance of that. In the book of Acts, Luke, Dr. Luke, is recording and documenting especially the person of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And Acts has a lot of speeches and dialogue where Luke conveys his message through that. And he also records the growth of the church, all of Paul's missionary journeys, for example. And tied to that, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes our Bibles will have little titles where it's the Acts of the Apostles, probably more accurately, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so in our passage, Jesus, in fact, let me read from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 8. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Almost an outline of how the church expanded, began in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and then eventually around the world. And I think they've even made it to Teller County. But it's in the context of Jesus' ascension and that sending of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus had talked about with his disciples in, for example, John 16. So on that day, the first 13 verses record the event, the situation, the tongue speaking in other languages, where pilgrimage feast, all people, Jewish folks from around the world, an enablement to preach God's word, the gospel, if you will, for the nations, God's words going out, the fire and the wind, pictures of God's presence, like on Mount Sinai. And so the idea of God being present. And then Peter gets up, the explanation of the sermon, and some just typical preaching elements, which we can appreciate today. Peter announces the day of fulfillment from what Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, we would call it, has. And he gives an account of who Jesus is, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. And then he gives the scriptural proof and a call to repentance, a call to do something. And so those three-point sermons, you got to like it. You always have to have three points, a poem and a prayer, right? But also, I like this, you also probably have to start off, first of all, we're not drunk, as you assume. I like that. We're not drunk. This is what was spoken. And so the uses Joel talking about the last days and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and concludes that section, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he quotes from David in Psalm 16 with the hope of the resurrection and Jesus as that descendant of David who is the one. David's dead and buried. Jesus did not see corruption but was resurrection. And then another quote, Psalm 110 from David, that Jesus has been exalted to the right hand and where pouring out of the Holy Spirit, he is the greater son, descendant of David, and concludes in verse 36 there, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit was promised throughout Scripture, and it's proof of the resurrection and the reign of Jesus. And so study of the Spirit, what's called pneumatology for a big word, the study of the Holy Spirit is tied to Christology, the person and work of Christ. And then the last couple of verses, we see the reaction, the idea of repent, change your mind and turn and change your ways. And the idea of baptism as a response to the forgiveness and cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. Response to the gospel starts off, they were cut to the heart. Emotions, important, but that's not where it stops. It leads to something ethical. Well, so what? What about for us? What is some application for us? And maybe connect some of those ologies, pneumatology and Christology and bibliology and soteriology. Our convictions and consequences series, that's why looking at doctrine and why that is important in our lives. But throughout this, you see, for example, Christology, Jesus, that's the message of Acts, and the gospel being proclaimed, the reality and the confirmation of truth. That's what Peter is saying, that the Holy Spirit, on this day of Pentecost, a very important calendar event for the Jewish people, then and now, even though they don't understand it, but a confirmation of the truth that Jesus is Lord and Christ. He is the Messiah. And his work, dying on the cross, resurrected, ascending. No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so a couple sermons here recently, the response in eternal destiny, folks, it all comes down to what we do with Christ in our lives. And then a couple weeks ago, the many paths to heaven, are there? And we looked at pluralism and no, Christianity, what we believe and what is the truth, exclusive, that it's Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Gerard, I appreciated in talking about starting the Gospel of John and the idea of truth, that the historical truth of Jesus, folks, that's fact. That is something that our faith is tied to. I wouldn't want to be here if I didn't know and understand that it was true factually. But then there's that verb, the act, that we believe in the person and work of Christ. And that's tied to our pneumatology. I love these big ology words. But the Holy Spirit, that God's continuing present, God the Holy Spirit, indwelling his people. If you are a Christian, you have God living inside you. And other aspects that Jesus talked about in John chapter 16, I will go away and there's the Holy Spirit is coming and he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He will teach you truth. So the idea of teaching, illuminating scripture so that we can understand and bow to the authority of God's word. That's what God the Holy Spirit, the author, if you will, helps us understand his writing. And convicting the world of sin, not believing in Jesus, righteousness, that we, if you will, represent the righteousness and the Holy Spirit helps us do that. And judgment, that there is judgment coming for unbelief. Confirming Jesus' mission, the Holy Spirit. Cleansing, the picture of the Holy Spirit as cleansing and restoration tied to baptism. The Holy Spirit is called the earnest or seal for our salvation. Regeneration, being born again or born from above. Not only for Israel, gathered in Jerusalem, but now it is for all the nation. The Holy Spirit is an often neglected part of the triune God that we sometimes forget. And back in August and September, still on the website, did a whole series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But that then is also tied or reinforces bibliology, God's word. Because God's word, starting on Mount Sinai, very important for the Jewish people, the law, God's word and his covenant, now has expanded to all people, which is why we have missionaries next week, what Daniel Sexton is doing in Japan. All, God's word is for all the nations, not just a nation that was supposed to be a light to the Gentiles. And God's word, the fulfillment of this prophecy, the promised Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, John the Baptist at the baptism of Jesus, and of course Jesus himself, all predicting. And so God's word confirmed, God the Spirit illuminating and bringing to life, if you will, God's word. God's word, and shame on us preachers if we get in the way of God's word and make it boring or untenable. It is the living and active word, and God the Holy Spirit helps us. And so when it comes to preaching, it has to be God's message, objective message, the present, if you will, and the facts of what God has said, not the subjective opinions of what I think, folks. If I start doing that, get the hook, pull me off the stage, because it has to be a biblical message of God's word, like what Peter is taking with this sermon. And the character of, obviously, the word of God and the preacher with passion, hopefully. So God's word is tied in there. But then, folks, salvation. What is our response? The emotional, those folks there where, I mean, you got to love a preacher, Peter, in the midst of Jerusalem with the angry Jewish leaders and those complicit in Christ's death saying, and you people crucified him. That's not a way to win friends and influence people, but they were cut to the heart because they recognized their, if you will, culpability and guilt. And so he says, repent, change your mind, which is literally, but the idea of changing your ways, because recognizing you were involved with the crucifixion. I like this. Many of you know the name Billy Sunday, an old baseball player. I think I've used this sermon before, but you know, he was a gospel and he didn't mince words, and I like that. And some lady afterwards said, "Mr. Sunday, I don't like your preaching. It's like you're just rubbing the fur on a cat the wrong way." And Billy Sunday said, "Well, ma'am, that cat's on its way to hell. Unless it turns around, then I'll be rubbing the fur the right way." That's repentance. But the idea of changing our mind, it goes along with faith, if you will, two sides of the same coin. And then the response, the reaction then of baptism. And we've talked about what is water baptism, what does it signify? But in the name of Jesus, once again, central to salvation, because of, it's a causal word there, the forgiveness of sin. And so enter into life in Jesus' name, as we sang, which was very good. But then just some extra, if you will, extra bonuses. Receiving the Holy Spirit, folks. Do we appreciate the power and presence of God in our lives if you are a Christian? And that promise that it is universal gospel to all people, to your sons, to your daughters, all places, all times. God is an equal opportunity Savior. But there's a danger. The consequences where you in this perverse generation, I mean, I realize America is not a perverse generation now, but the idea of judgment, and Joel talked about the blood and all those signs, and you look at the book of Revelation, just the pictures of God's judgment. There are consequences to unbelief. But then that public testimony where they, a baptismal service in Jerusalem with the Pool of Siloam, where'd they find all the water? But the idea of a public testimony of allegiance to Jesus. And so my challenge for us, just baptism, not required for salvation, properly understood, but as an act of a public testimony that you have identified publicly with what Christ has done, folks, that's important. And I would encourage all of us to think about that in our lives. So you can see that repenting of sin, grace is bigger than we think it is, and it's all about Jesus. The promised coming of the Holy Spirit brings God's word to life. How does this affect you and me? And hopefully, it is all for God's glory. Pentecost, an important day that affects us even today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you for Pentecost. Holy Spirit, we do praise you. Thank you for pointing us, glorifying Christ, illuminating your word, so that we might live lives that truly bring you glory. We thank you that we are who we are because you are who you are and did what you did for us in Jesus Christ, confirmed by the Holy Spirit, and our lives regenerated by the Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.